Everybody, it is so great to see you guys all here this morning. Everybody comes for food day. I know I come for food day. later on, we're going to have this amazing meal out there, and it's been prepared by so many of you guys, and you guys all brought your best, I hope. And so I'm excited about that. Right now we get to welcome our kids to go back to their class and to go back to a teacher that loves them and cares about them and a teacher that has invested time this week to really be a blessing to those kiddos. We also get to welcome those of you that are joining us online. We are so grateful for this technology that allows you to be a part of our extended spiritual family. Of course, we would love for you to come and be a part of our in-person family. Listen, if you are looking for a church in the area, you will not find a church as loving and caring as Leaf River Baptist Church. And that's because those of us here at Leaf River Baptist Church, like, there's something unique that happens within the life of this church. And that's that we're actually a family. Like, I'm amazed week after week after week. I'm amazed by how much we love and care for each other, how much concern is given to specific people. Whenever you hear about somebody that's not feeling well, we have people in our church, we have people in this family that genuinely care about those situations. And it is so encouraging to be a part of this family. I'm so grateful for that. Listen, we've been in a series for the last few weeks called Not Ours, okay? And this series is called Not Ours because we've been talking about the fact that, about stewardship and about how we need to be stewards of what God has given us and how we need to be stewards of the things that God has put in front of us. As a matter of fact, every year for the last few years, now this is only my fourth year here at Leaf River Baptist. Isn't that amazing, by the way, that we're starting our fourth year with us being here? I'm blown away that you guys still allow me to come up here every week. So every year, usually in November, we take some time and we look at stewardship. We look at different types of stewardship, right? We look at things about what does God say about our time? What does God say about our finances? What does God say about the resources, about our family, about our gifts, all of these different types of things. But this year, we're looking specifically at our finances as a whole. And one of the things, and I don't know if I've been overly clear, but one of the things I'm hoping to be able to happen throughout this series is help you to be able to develop a budget within your house. If you're struggling, if you're saying, man, my budget is just kind of rough, I need to tweak my household budget. One of the goals of this series is for you to be able to see some biblical truths to be able to help you with that process. And part of that is you saw in the email that went out this Friday, there was a link in there for Crown Financial Ministries and lots of online tools to just help you budget appropriately and budget properly. And that same link is in the Bible app within the notes this week. So that way you can follow along. You can jump in and use some of these free tools that are out there because things aren't ours. What we have isn't ours. Remember one of the things we said the first week, the first time that I got up and we started this series, is we said that God owns everything and I own nothing. God owns everything and I own nothing. And that's incredibly important to remember, because if I can remember that God owns everything and I own nothing, well, then now I can begin to think about letting go of the things that I've been holding on to for so long. Letting go of the things that I've been kind of just, well, we talked about hoarding, right? And that hoarding can be financially, it can be stuff, it can be maybe even various relationships. It can be lots of different things, right? And so we talked about that, and we actually, I gave you a definition of stewardship because I want us to all just be on the same page, right? Whenever we use words, whenever there's terminology, it's important that we're all on the same page. And so I define stewardship like this. Stewardship is the process of being responsible with someone else's property while it is entrusted to you. Now, I got this definition. This is actually just a Google definition, okay? But it's a phenomenal definition. In parentheses, I added the to you because I think it's important. If you're going to be a steward of something, it's because something has been entrusted to you, right? So that's the definition of stewardship that we're going with this week. Hey, Merle, would you grab me that bottle of water? I left it on the chair there. I'm sorry. Anyway, so we know that if God owns everything, then then I have to realize that that I'm just using the things that he's entrusted to me, right? I'm just being allowed to be the one to manage the resources that he's given to me. And that also means that I'm called as a steward of his resources, that I'm called to use his resources the way he would use his resources, right? That should be my goal. That should be what I'm focused on doing. And remember, we talked about, we said that God does not change, right? That's one of the first things that we realized. We said that God does not change, that his word is forever, and that if God does not change, then we do not give to the Lord. Whenever we do not give to the Lord, we're actually robbing God, we're robbing ourselves, and we're robbing other people of the blessings that God would give, right? I don't know about you, but that's not a place that I want to be. Now, here's the truth, though. Sometimes what we say and what we read in Scripture can feel kind of offensive to us, right? Sometimes when we read something in Scripture, sometimes if you hear me say something, it can feel kind of offensive, right? It can just kind of strike a nerve within us. Like I don't want to hear those words. And actually, we talked about why that might be. I think last week we talked about that. And one of the biggest takeaways that I have seen throughout all of the time in ministry that I've interacted with people, whenever they've told me that they were offended by Scripture, 100% of the time, here's what happens. If I am offended by what Scripture says, then I'm the one that needs to change, right? I can't change Scriptures to fit what I want it to say, that if I'm offended by Scripture, I need to change. So when we look at Scripture, we see that God owns everything and I own nothing. And that upsets me because I've spent my whole life working for all of the things that I have, right? I've spent so long gathering all of these resources, using all of my abilities to be able to load up my garage with all of the possible tools I might ever need one day, right? But then we see that God owns everything and I own nothing, and that upsets me. Well, here's what happens. When that upsets me, and it does, I think we have to be honest about that, right? It does upset us, at least on a surface level sometimes. Then we have to realize that if I'm offended at the thought of God owning everything, if I'm offended at the thought of God owning what I have worked for, well, then I've created an idol of money, of things, of resources in my heart. If I'm offended at the thought of God owning what I have, well, then what I have has become an idol to me. Now, I talked about that in regards to time not too long ago. You might have remembered saying what we talked about. You might remember that I talked to a boss, and maybe you remember this story where I told you I talked to a boss of mine, and he told me that I had to do all these things, and then I did them, and then he said, "Why did you do these things? That's not how I wanted you to do them," whatever. And I was frustrated because my boss was wasting my time, right? And I got so, and then I had a brother call me out on it and say, "Billy, whose time is it really?" Well, really, it's God's time. And on top of that, I was being paid for my time, so it definitely wasn't my time anyway, right? Many times we forget that our resources are not ours, but we're actually just stewards of the resources that have been entrusted to us. Now, we've talked about everything being God's, and we've talked about giving to the Lord. And it is my desire, like I said, is to help us be able to think about informing or creating a budget for your family, because if we're called to be stewards, if we're called to be God's stewards, then we need to use things appropriately, right? And so, thinking about having a budget for your home, for your family, for your business, whatever it is, based on God's resources being God's resources and not your own, well, then I kind of need to talk about something else, right? I kind of need to talk about living within our means, right? I kind of need to talk, and we need to look at together, what does Scripture say about debt? Scripture and debt. What does Scripture say about that? And I can hear now in your brain, you're starting to think, okay, all right, he's going to talk about debt. I think I need to go help in the kitchen. I think I need to go, I'm going to volunteer to go be in the nursery. There's something happened in my car. I just need to go. And you go, you're trying to think of a reason, like, how can I not be here right now while he's talking, not be obvious about it, right? Maybe you're just going to say, well, I'm using my phone to look at the Scriptures while you're scrolling Facebook and Instagram. Let me just ask you a favor. If you are using your phone for Facebook, Instagram, whatever, go ahead and go on to just share the church to your friends, to your neighbors, to whoever. If you're going to be on Facebook anyway, use it for good, right? And just share what's going on here at Leaf River Baptist Church. Scripture says a lot about debt. And so that's what we're going to look at today. What we're going to do today is something called biblical theology. Okay, in other words, what I've done is I've looked throughout a lot of Scripture. Okay, I've tried to get a picture of what the Scriptures, as in all of the Scriptures, says about the topic of debt. Okay, and I've tried to sort that through, like, okay, what are we talking about? Sinful debt? Are we talking about financial debt? What are we talking about? And I've tried to kind of weed through those things so that I can share with you guys what a biblical theology of debt is, so that you can begin to form that in your own heart, in your own mind, okay? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. And I want to share something that I have discovered, and that is that there is really two views of debt. There's really two views of debt. And it's pretty easy. And there are faithful Christians on both sides of this topic. And so whatever side you line up with, that's okay. That's why I'm sharing this, okay? Because there are faithful Christians that land on both sides of the issue of debt. And the first view is that debt is fine. It's okay to be in debt. It's okay to use debt. And there's nothing wrong with debt. The second view, of course, is that debt is a sin. Debt of any kind is a sin. And these are the two big thoughts when it comes to debt. And this is what people look at when they look at Scripture and to try to understand what does Scripture say about debt. And so what I actually thought would be helpful, maybe, as you begin yourself to develop your view of debt and how you want to see what Scripture says about debt, I thought I would kind of just share a couple of things. What does Scripture say? What does Scripture not say? Okay, and that's what I want to do this morning. So the first thing we're going to look at is what the Bible does not say about debt. What the Bible does not say about debt. Now, as we look at what the Bible doesn't say, I just want to be very clear throughout this entire sermon this morning, none of what I'm going to say is all-inclusive. Okay, I'm not giving you every single thing that Scripture says about the idea of debt, but I'm trying to share with you the highlights. I'm trying to share with you the big ideas, okay? And so here it is. That first of all, we see that while living debt-free is commendable, it's admirable, it's not a biblical mandate to live without debt, okay? It's not a biblical mandate, but it is wise. While it may be wise, it's not a command. And some people use this Scripture right here. owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. Romans 13:8. Owe no one anything. And so they'll take that passage and they'll say, well, it's very clear. You're just supposed to owe anyone nothing. That means zero debt, no debt. There should never be debt, right? Except the problem is that this passage isn't really talking about financial debt. That's not specifically what this passage is talking about. This passage is actually talking about a perpetual indebtedness. Perpetual indebtedness, right? Like owing people money, owing people respect, owing people honor, these types of things. It's kind of an all-inclusive perpetual. It's not a thing, it's a way of life that you are constantly indebted to everyone around you in various types of ways, right? It's also talking about living in a way that is loving to other people, not living in a way that takes advantage of other people. And I'm sure that you guys all have either known someone that loves to take advantage of their friends, or if you don't know anyone that loves to take advantage of their friends, maybe you are the one that's trying to take advantage of your friends, and you need to kind of pay attention to that, right? So that's what this is talking about. It's talking about not being selfish within yourself, but being selfless. That's not all, though. You see, I can remember myself just looking through scriptures and seeing what scripture says in various times. And there's something else that scripture doesn't say, and this is something that I have heard a lot of. And that it doesn't say that God will bail you out of debt. That is not what scripture says. Scripture does not say God will bail. Many times Christians will have this false idea that if I get myself into debt, if I get myself into a predicament, if I get myself into some big issue because of my human consequences, because of my careless actions or my careless decision makings, that I believe that if I do something wrong, that God will definitely just deal with it for me and I will have no human consequences for that. And they'll look at passages like Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And they'll say, see clearly right there, my God will supply every need. Well, it's my need to be bailed out of my debt. Well, that's not what this passage is really talking about. It's not talking about not having personal responsibility, right? I actually was a little bit surprised the first time I ever heard someone talk about this. I was a little bit interested at the fact that this is actually a pretty widely held belief amongst Christians in general, amongst the church in general, that people will claim that using debt is a way to stretch your faith. Now, here's the thing. Scripture does not say that debt reveals how much faith you have. This was shocking when people shared this, when I looked at this as I was doing my research, that this is actually something that people legitimately believe. Like, they'll say that scripture is very clear. Jesus paid for the sins. Jesus forgave me. So that's just my way of showing how much faith I have. Now, that just sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Like, that just sounds stupid, frankly. People will claim that using debt is a way to exercise your faith. The problem is there is nothing in anywhere in Scripture that will point to that idea that debt reveals how much faith you are, how much faith you have. The more debt, the more faith. Now, as we saw above, though, it's not a sin to borrow money. But to borrow money also doesn't show that you're faithful. It doesn't build your faith in any way. As a matter of fact, many times, us borrowing money shows that we're not having faith in God's supply, that we're not having faith in what God is trying to do in our lives. Many times, us jumping to a place of indebtedness and to a place of using debt to bail ourselves out of some particular issue is simply a way of us showing I don't have enough faith in God to deal with this issue that I've got going on. In other words, the passage that says God will supply all of our needs that we just read, we decide that we'll just jump in and take care of it ourselves. We're not going to wait on God to supply our needs, right? Instead of allowing God to stretch our faith by supplying our needs, we decide we're just going to jump into debt and we're going to deal with it ourselves. And in many ways, this can be seen not as growing your faith, but actually, really, if we're being honest, this is a way of denying our faith, right? If I jump into debt first, I'm not going to pray about this situation. I'm just going to jump right into my credit card to bail me out. I'm not going to talk about it with my family, with my friends. I'm just going to jump right into the credit card and I'm going to deal with it. Well, that's not really growing my faith. That's more denying my faith, right? Now, these are just a couple of things. Like I said, we don't have enough time to go into every aspect of what Scripture says. So these are just three things that Scripture does not say about debt. And now let's look at what the Bible does say about debt. Listen, I know it can be a little concerning to think that Scripture says something about debt, because maybe you're here this morning and you realize I'm in debt. I'm in a lot of debt, and I don't want to hear what Scripture says about debt, because then I'm gonna feel convicted about what I've got going on in my own life, right? Well, we've already seen that Scripture does not say that you're forbidden to use debt, right? Using debt is not a sinful thing, right? But we should know, if we're trying to be faithful with the resources that we've been given, we should know what Scripture does actually say, right? Because it's better to know what Scripture says than to think and not actually know. And so that's why we're going to look at that. And as a matter of fact, it's important to understand what the Bible does say about debt, because there are times when the biblical truths that we know would require us to use some form of debt from time to time. For instance, let me give you an example, right? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. What happens, parents, if your child is in a horrible accident and needs emergency surgery right now? Well, you better get the surgery and then figure out how you're going to pay for it, right? You don't say, well, let me save up for a few months and try to earn the money. In the meantime, your child dies. You do what you have to do, right, in order to provide for the member of your family. You don't simply allow them to suffer. You leverage the resources that you have to be able to provide for them and take care of your responsibility. However, while there may be times when debt is needed, purchasing a house, purchasing a car, right, some emergency surgery type situation, we do read some other truths about debt. So what does the Bible say? Well, it does say that it's wrong not to repay your debt. Now, this one's super clear. This one's 100% clear. Look at Psalm chapter 37, verse 21. It says, the wicked borrows but does not pay back, but the righteous is generous and gives. Now, this is important here, because I've had some conversations with people even this week, with other Christians, with other pastors, and I want to be clear here for a moment. This does not mean that it is sinful to declare bankruptcy, okay? That's not what I'm talking about here. That's a whole other conversation that can be talked about, that can be looked at. But the reality is that our legal system actually does provide for ways when we have gotten in over our head that we can have a mediator and be able to still repay our debts, have them help us through processing our debts where we still pay what we owe, right? We have a legal system that allows for that. But you still cover your debts. This is really more specifically talking about the person that takes out debt with no intention of ever paying it back. The one that takes out debt and thinks, well, I'm just going to use it up and then I'm going to forget about it. Who cares? Like if you go into saying, I'm going to use $10,000 worth of credit cards, and when you start using the credit cards, you know that as soon as you rack up your bills, you're going to declare bankruptcy and you're going to try to walk away. That's what this is talking about. Or maybe you have some debt and then you learn about some scheme to get away from paying your debt. Like if I can just do this, then I won't have to pay my debt and it'll be great, right? And I have known people with that mentality. As a matter of fact, there was a time that, let's be honest, if you're in a lot of debt and you hear about a potential to get out of debt with zero cost, man, that thought, man, should I do that? That could be kind of nice. But scripture is pretty clear. It says the wicked borrows but does not pay back. Some people will say that you should pay I should give my debts to you, because after all, Jesus paid for my sins. So why shouldn't you pay for my debts? Jesus is all about forgiveness of debts. That's using the gospel in a way that the gospel was not intended to be used. Scripture's clear here that the wicked borrow but do not pay back, but that's not all. The scripture also tells us, and parents, this could be something to think about. Friends, if you've got good friends, this could be something to think about. It's foolish to co-sign a debt. It's foolish to co-sign a debt. Listen, I learned early on in my life, I will loan people money. I don't loan people money. I will give people money. If I can't afford to not have the money, then I don't give it. I don't loan it. I don't do anything. If I give money, that's a gift, and I don't expect it back. The same thing with the co-signing of a loan. I'll be honest, I co-signed a car for my son. He's got an income, and he's 18. He has no way of having any kind of debt so far, any kind of a credit score. And so I co-signed. But I co-signed because I can afford to make the payment should he not. And we thought through that and we talked through it. And the first time he doesn't make the payment, the car gets sold and it goes away. It can be foolish to co-sign a debt, especially with a friend, especially with somebody that you're not overly invested with. That we see that in Proverbs 11:15. Whoever puts up security for a stranger will surely suffer harm. But he who hates striking his hands in pledge is secure. See, when you co-sign or when you put up security for someone, this is a formal commitment. You're saying if that person ever doesn't make a payment, you will 100% be responsible for every dime that's owed. That's a big deal, right? That's not something to just go into lightly. That you're guaranteeing to pay another person's debt should they be unable to pay it. Now, let me give a break here. If you've co-signed with someone in order to help them secure a loan, to secure a house, to secure a car, something to that effect, something that they can afford to pay, then they stop paying, you need to be able to pay that debt. Or you need to be able to say, I'm taking it back and I'm selling it off to take care of that debt, because the evil, the wicked, take a debt and do not pay. So let me encourage you to put money aside to be able to pay that debt. If you are in the situation where you have co-signed for something, then let me encourage you to put finances aside to be able to take care of that debt. Should that happen? This is a matter of wisdom as you're putting together your budget. Lastly, Scripture does say very clearly, it does say we cannot serve God and money. You see, when we're in debt, especially when we're in a debt in a way that is above our means, I don't actually have a way to repay this much credit card, right? Or this high of a car bill, or this much house, or whatever it is. That when we're in that position, then we're in a very real danger of serving our money and not serving our God. We're in a very real danger there. We have the potential of being put into a position that we have to pay back our debts by any means necessary. And what happens if we're in a position of serving our money? Well, if I'm in a position of serving my money, Matthew 6:24 says, no one can serve two masters. For evil, either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Listen, if we are here serving money because we have over-leveraged ourselves in debt, then we're not able to serve the Lord the way that we might desire to serve the Lord. Right? You're going to say, well, I can't. I have to work 100 hours a week to be able to pay my bills, so I can't go on that mission trip. I can't be there for the church work day. I can't be there when we go to serve the community in whatever way that might be. I can't give towards the missionary's particular need, because every dime I have has to go to pay for this thing that I've over-leveraged myself for. We're going to have to work all the time, right? Missing church, missing small group, not being able to do whatever it is that God has called you to do. God does not want us to be careless with our finances. It's the opposite. He wants us to handle our money His way, so that it doesn't have to consume all of our time. When we're dealing with our budget, our family budget, when I'm looking at my income versus my expenses, I should be having those things balanced in a way that I can pay what I have and still pay what I need, but still be available to serve God the way He's called me to serve. Still be available to use the gifts and the resources that God has given me to serve the people that are around me. But if I've over-leveraged myself, if I'm living in such a way that I truly have to serve money, well, then I can't serve my God, because this other stuff is so important. This other stuff is too important. It takes up all of our time, energy, thoughts. When we make a choice to go into debt beyond our ability to pay, it causes us to serve money and not God. So what does that mean? Well, it means, first of all, that I choose to live within my means. I choose to live within my means. That means whatever the thing is, maybe there's, man, I tell you what, I would love a brand new, you know, 2022 whatever truck. I'd love that. By the way, I know I told you guys that I struggle with bacon, with the price. Man, the Lord blessed me with some bacon this week. It was amazing. So far we've been blessed with eggs. I've been blessed with trucks. I've been blessed with bacon. I really hate the price of gas. I don't know. I'm just going to throw that one out there. Let's see if a gas card comes up. when I choose to live within my means, that means I'm not over-leveraging myself in a way that I cannot be available to do what God's called me to do. When we lived in Puerto Rico, I was amazed, so amazed at the way that people would live, at the way that people would spend. As a matter of fact, I had a friend who lived there. We'll just call her Jill. Jill drove a nice car. She had nice clothes. She always went out to do whatever it is that you would want to go out to do, going out to eat, going to the movies, all this kind of stuff. Well, one day I was talking with her because I wasn't getting paid that well. I was getting paid like $6.50 an hour, and I could barely afford to like eat food, okay? And so I was talking to her one day, and she revealed to me that she was only making $6 an hour. Now, to be fair, this is back in like 2000, right? So $6 an hour then was a little bit more than it is today, but still, $6 an hour is not a lot of money. And so I asked her, I said, how can you afford to do all of the things that you do? How can you afford to go out to eat every single, you know, multiple times a week? How can you afford your apartment, right? Like, I lived with my parents at that time, and I still barely had enough money to survive. How do you afford to live on your own and not, like, have to pay all these bills? And she told me, here's what she told me, that she survived on credit cards. She just survived on credit cards. She knew there was no way that she would ever be able to pay back these credit cards, but that's how she survived. She just didn't care. Now, it's also true that there was, or maybe there still is, I don't know, but there at least the people that I was around, the people that I knew, had a culture of living beyond your means, of living on credit card. That's why the island, as an island, in 2016, the island actually declared bankruptcy. They're actually just now coming out of that right now. But if I choose to live within my means, that will allow me to avoid going into bad debt that is going to cause me to miss the opportunities that God has for me. If I can choose to live within my means, then that will allow me to avoid going into debt that either I'm unwilling or unable to pay back. And it will avoid the label of wicked being attached to me. Again, I'm not claiming that debt in and of itself is sinful. There are times there is good debt. There are times when debt is necessary. Many times in business, it's cheaper to go into debt for business and allow your resources to build more income than it is to just pay everything out. Like, there are reasons for debt. Debt is not in and of itself sinful. However, there is a wisdom in how we as Christians should handle debt. And this really is probably the more important part of debt. There's wisdom in how we handle it. That said, we need to understand that debt is a burden. Debt is a burden. We read that in Proverbs 22:7. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender. The borrower is slave to the lender. So debt is not something you want to just jump into carelessly, right? You don't want to just jump in and say, okay, I'm going to be in debt. If it's possible, avoid it. There's wisdom in avoiding debt, if that's possible. I can tell you that Beth and I started out, and when Beth and I started out, when we moved from Puerto Rico to South Bend, I was so tempted so many times to go into Aaron's Rent-A-Center and get couches and TVs and all. Like, we had nothing in our apartment. I was so, like, I knew I had friends doing this. I worked at an apartment complex, and I constantly saw these trucks in there dropping off massive TVs. And I was like, that would be awesome if I had a TV the size of the living room. And so these thoughts kept coming into my head, right? But praise the Lord for not allowing me to do that. And I'm not sure, other than the fact that Beth would have probably beaten me senseless if I came home with a TV the size of the living room, I'm not exactly sure what kept me, because I considered it so many times. All we had, just to be clear, all we had a 13-inch TV that we wheeled around the apartment depending on what room we were in at the time. We had couches and end tables that were from dumpsters, side of the road, whatever. Like, we spent maybe $5 on our apartment, okay, because that's all we had. We furnished the apartment with side of the road. We saved up. We intentionally saved up. And I can remember being both scared and relieved the day that I wrote a check for $1,700 for a big old sectional couch. It took years to get there, but I can remember being amazed and scared when I wrote that check. I was a little scared because I didn't know that my check would go that far. Like, I didn't know that many zeros could go on it at the time, but it was nice. It was nice, and we had credit pushed on us, and I can remember when I was single, I had credit pushed on me. I can remember living in Dallas and feeling like, man, I don't know how I'm going to pay rent this month. And then I would open the mailbox and there would be a, you're pre-approved for $500 Visa. And I'm like, well, it just so happens that's how much rent is. I could just go get this thing and pay my rent this month. Praise the Lord, I didn't. Because we should be wise when we think about debt. And so here's what I would do. I look at the total cost of the item, okay? If I'm gonna get something in debt, we always are going to pay interest, right? Always, 100% of the time, there's nothing for free in this world. You're going to pay interest. And so I look at, okay, how much is the interest plus the price of the item going to cost? Now, when it came to Aaron's Rent-A-Center, you were going to pay like $1,000 for a $200 TV. That doesn't seem like a wise purchase, right? And so I didn't do that because it's not a wise decision. But anytime I would go into debt, you look at the item that you're purchasing plus the interest. What's the final cost you're going to pay? Is it actually worth that cost? Sometimes it is. Other times it isn't, right? Bottom line, when you go into debt, if you go into debt, you will be burdened. Debt is a burden. The question is, can you shoulder that burden? Because the borrower is slave to the lender. And even though you hate this burden, you hate the idea of having to write that check or send that payment in online every single month. You hate it when you're paying your bills. You still have to pay your bills. Debt is a burden because you are slave to the lender, and you will want your flesh, the sinfulness inside of you will want to avoid making those payments. Like, you will wish, man, I wish I didn't have to pay that this month. Look how much I would have if I didn't have to pay that this month. However, to avoid paying your debt is wicked. And I know that's not a word you want attached to your name. I know when you look at you and God and your relationship with God, you don't want to be known as wicked because you've chosen not to pay your debt. So you will need to pay your debt, because that's the word that we see describes the one who does not pay his bills. So this morning, as you consider your own debt to income, as you consider building a budget or maybe tweaking a budget for your life, for your family, keep in mind your heart desires. Keep in mind your heart desires. We do what we do because we want what we want. So this morning, as you think about your budget, as you think about your finances, this morning, here's what I want you to truly be thinking about. Ensure that your desire is to be pleasing to the Lord with your finances. Ensure that your heart is to be pleasing to the Lord. In a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the elders to go ahead and come on up here for communion. And we're going to talk through what Scripture says about communion, about Jesus' Last Supper, and how he chose to pay the debt that he did not owe. But for now, I want you to be thinking about, what do I feel about my own financial picture? How do I feel about the way that I'm using debt or avoiding debt? Am I using my finances in a way that is pleasing to God? Or am I slave to the lender and unable to do the things that God has so clearly called me to do? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that you have given us to live with you. Lord, to love, to be able to experience your grace and your mercy, Lord. Father, as we look at our own finances, as we look at what you've done in our lives with our resources, God, we ask that you would be pleased by our actions, that you would be pleased at the way that we are stewarding your resources, Lord. Lord, our desire as a church and our desire as Christians is to live in a way that is pleasing to you. And Lord, that includes our financial picture. So God, take our resources, take our finances, take our offerings, take our tithes, and use them in a way that you would have them be used. Lord, take our finances individually and our family, and use our finances in a way that honors you. Lord, give us wisdom individually to be able to know what we need to do with the debt that we have, whatever debt that may be. Thank you, Lord, because we know that through you, there is a way out. And so, but we rely on you as we pay back our debts, and we rely on you for the wisdom to know when and if we should ever use debt moving into the future, Lord. Lord, we trust you, and we give everything to you. In your name we pray, amen.